Okay, we've been talking about healing. Healing is a tremendous. Has everybody been pretty much with us where we are with the healing process and that you cannot separate the blood and the body? It's very important that you know this, especially when you're in the process. If anybody is sick, you need to know this. This is what builds your faith. Faith is trust. If God says it, it is true. So we need to believe the word of God. So we've been talking about not separating the blood and the body. We went into, and did we cover? No, we did not. Let's cover causes of sickness. Next week, we're going to be laying hands on people for healing. So you want to make sure you're here if you're physically ill. If you know somebody that is physically ill, you want to bring them. And we'll be laying hands on sick folk next week. So causes of sickness. There's so many different causes. So let's just start talking about them. We talked and started last week that sin can be the cause of sickness, but it's not always the cause of sickness. Some people actually believe, and listen, I know of a guy, it was in Worcester, Massachusetts. There was a young boy who was brought into the church to get prayed for in a wheelchair. He was probably 12 or 13 years old. They wheeled him in, and the pastor prayed over him, was speaking over him, laying hands on him for about an hour. And then the pastor looked at the child and said, "You've got sin in your life. That's why you're not healed." Spun around, walked away. Destroyed the whole family. That family was never right. Never went back to church, actually. So it's important to recognize that sin can be a cause, but sin is not always the cause. So the first thing you do when you got sickness in your life is you start saying, okay, what's out of alignment? Is there any sin in my life that I need to expel? Because I want to make sure that I'm in a right position to receive from the Lord. Now, I shared with you last week one of the number one sins that holds people back from their miracle or their healing is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a massive sin in our lives that most people ignore. The problem with that is Jesus said, if you don't forgive, you can't be, if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. But not only that, what it does is it actually stops the miracle working power of God in your life. So you need to make sure that there is no unforgiveness in your heart. Now, many people don't even deal with this until sickness comes. But I want to challenge you not to be a person that waits for sickness to come, but that you are already prepared. How many of you have ever heard of taking vitamins? I took my vitamins this morning, and I went pee about 10 o'clock. And it was bright yellow. Because when you take your vitamins, oh my goodness, it's just not pretty. Just bright yellow urine. Yeah, I know. It's a good sign, isn't it? Yeah, it means it's vitamins are getting into you. And so, you know, I'm full of vitamins. It was a great day. But, you know, you don't get sick and start dosing 4,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Why don't you mega dose vitamin C when you're sick? That's exactly right. You get diarrhea. How many of you know that? When your body's done using all of it can use, it then expels it, which means you're sitting on the John or the Henry or whatever you want to call it. You know, you are sitting there and you are going to the bathroom. This is what many people do in life in spirituality. What they do is they wait for a problem. They wait for sickness. They wait for a sin. They wait for something to happen in their life. Then they try to megadose the Bible. They try to megadose the verses. They try to megadose faith. Wisdom says if you take vitamins and you're consistent at it, you build up resistance. So therefore, when sickness tries to come, you are your body's already prepared to handle it. And therefore, you have a whole level of strength you couldn't have had by megadosing. So this is where we want to be in our spiritual life. You need to make sure there's no sin in your life. Sin is an open opportunity for the devil to come in and to afflict you with sickness. You do not want sin in your life. Again, just because you're sick doesn't mean you have sin, but you definitely want to check to make sure you don't. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Another type of or reason why people are sick is some people have improper care of their body. There are a lot of individuals that do not take good care of their body. I know I touched this last week. I'm going to go through these one more time. I've only handled a few of them. You need to make sure that you take care of your bodies. Our bodies were never created to sit still. Now, I had one of those, what are those bands called? Up Band, the Up Band by Jawbone, where it keeps track of your steps and it keeps track of your exercise and your heartbeat and keeps track of all those things. And I was actually in competition with Minister Redner. And then I have some other pastors that we're in competition with, you know. And so I would always, because they, I always beat them, really, honestly, I always beat them. And I would call them and mock them that they were so bad. But what you found was your body needs exercise. Now, my wife blessed me. She went out and bought me an Apple Watch. And the Apple Watch actually says, stand up. Every hour, the Apple Watch goes off, clicks you and says, stand up. In other words, you're a slug. Stop sitting. Get up. But our bodies, by nature, are not made to sit around. And what's happened in American society is that we are, it wasn't that way 50 years ago, but it is that way now, where mainly our jobs, a lot of jobs, are sitting. A lot of students, they stay right there. They don't move. We find a lot of kids are not in sports. We're finding a lot of activity has been stopped. Well, the problem with that is it affects your body. One time, my mother-in-law, I love my mother-in-law. She's went on to be with Jesus. My mother-in-law, when I was in our last church, she was diagnosed with diabetes and high blood pressure. So she came up and she said to me, she said, I want to be healed. And I said, well, God will heal you. But Edith, you got to know you got to take care of your body. And she said, well, I want God to heal me. So I laid hands on Edith, and I spoke the word over her life. She went back to the doctor, and the doctor confirmed no more diabetes. He confirmed it, and no more high blood pressure. She was very excited. And, yeah, I mean, it was a great miracle. And then she just kept eating the Twinkies. She kept eating all the sweets at night. She didn't lose any weight. She didn't exercise. And within less than a year, her blood pressure was back, high blood pressure was back, and her diabetes was back. The doctor looked at her and said, you know, if you had lost weight, this would have stayed gone. We need to take care of our bodies. Americans do not take care of their bodies. Listen, you cannot continue to eat processed food like you do. McDonald's is not your friend. Well, I don't go to McDonald's. I do Burger King because it's flame broiled. No. Come on now. Look at the caloric intake. The caloric intake, you're looking at near 1,100 calories for a hamburger. As a normal adult, let's just take a male. Normal adult male should do about 2,100 calories a day. Females, I believe they do more. I believe they do 2,100 to 2,500 for a man. And a woman's caloric intake can be a little bit higher. I don't know why, but maybe it's lower. Okay, it's lower. So let's just say 21 to 25 for the man. Let's just say 1,800 for the ladies. All right, you go to Olive Garden. Can I hear an amen? And, yep, hallelujah. And you get their artichoke dip, spinach artichoke dip. How many of you like the spinach artichoke dip? Amen, isn't that good? Glory to God. You get your spinach artichoke dip, and then you get the Tuscan steak. Church is canceled. Hallelujah. So you eat that, right? And then you have maybe have a Diet Coke. Exactly. So here we go. You ready? When you eat your spinach artichoke dip, I believe it's right around 1,500 calories. Then you're eating your steak, you're right around another 1,000 calories. And then you have your Diet Coke. The Diet Coke, the aspartame, is a chemical that never leaves your body. It actually takes a hold of your fat cells and encapsulates them. And aspartame that you enter into your body never leaves your body. So it holds the fat where you are. You think you're losing weight by drinking Diet Cola, you're actually captivating your fat. So you've just got done eating, and then you decide, well, you want a coffee, so you have two sugars. That's, you know, and maybe a little bit of cream, so there's another 200 calories. And then you look and you try to restrain, but tiramisu is calling your name. You walk out of a supper and you're looking at near over 2,000, well, you're looking at more than that. You're looking at almost 3,000 calories for one meal. One meal. You see, if you don't exercise, you've just gained weight. Oh, my. This is not fun. I've been watching myself grow. But, I mean, I've been watching. You know, when I ride bicycle, I have a very bad philosophy. The other day, I rode, I think, 10 miles, and I burned 600 calories. So I had a bowl of ice cream that I ate 300 to save the other 300 for loss. But then I had a bowl of popcorn, which is 325, so I gained weight that day. What did my bicycle riding do? Not much. It's important that you take care of your body. You cannot eat 500 hamburgers, your heart blows up, and blame the devil. If you don't take care of your body, then there's a problem with that. And it's not that God won't heal you. I mean, I've seen God heal people who were smokers and got cancer, lung cancer because of smoking. I've seen God heal them. I've seen God heal people who have messed up their backs because they're picking up the refrigerators when they were told that you could easily use a dolly. I've seen God heal people, like I said, of diabetes and high blood pressure and everything like that. I've seen God heal pretty much every kind of thing that I could imagine. But the difficulty is we have a responsibility with that. We got one amen on the front row. Thank you. We've got to take care of ourselves. Amen. If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't be shocked when sickness comes into our lives. Overeating is another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. It says we must exercise self-control in all things. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't allow ice cream in my house. No, I really don't. When ice cream comes, it usually is a Sunday sin. So we have all these people come over to my house, you know. I mean, like this week there was probably 25, 30 folks at our house. My wife cooked dinner for everybody, you know, lunch for everybody. They watched some football. And, of course, she bought them dessert. What would she buy them? Ice cream. Dear God, what's wrong with the woman? She says, exert self-control. Well, that's a lot easier. No, and I don't think there's a demon of ice cream either. You know, I just looked at ice cream and I said, well, I feel the will of Jesus. I preached two sermons today and I validated myself all the way through and had a nice bowl of ice cream and then went back about 2 hours later and had a few extra scoops. It was a great day. But we're to exert self-control. I just don't allow ice cream in my house because I know if it's there, I'm going to go make a visitation. Amen. Some people are sick because they've been in accidents. Whether it's lifting, vehicle accidents, they've fallen. There's a massive list of all of those. And let's be honest, the devil's not the cause of those kind of wounds. They're just accidents. There are people that are born sick. We know in John chapter 9, 1 through 3, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, teacher, is what rabbi means, teacher. Who sinned, this man or his parents? And he was born blind. And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. The fact is that some people are born sick. Some people are born with a disease. Some people are born, my wife was born with what's called RH factor. Wow, a lot of people with RH factor. RH factor is when your blood is mad at you, and if you don't get a blood transfusion, you die. So as a baby, they immediately give you a blood transfusion. And, you're born with that. Your parents didn't sin. You're just born. Some people are born with sickness. It doesn't mean they're evil. Bad habits. Many are sick because they've abused their bodies with bad habits. You smoke, you can't be shocked if you get cancer. I had a buddy. Well, I won't say a buddy. He was a kid in high school, and he really liked acid. And there was no acid that day. No one had any acid to pop. So he decided to snort some rat poisoning. Yeah, he was never the same. The devil didn't do that. You don't snort rat poisoning. It's bad for you. You know, I remember one day, the same kid, he was so stoned. And we were dissecting frogs that day. And we looked at him and said, "Hey, Lenny, $25 if you eat the guts of the frog." Well, he was really stoned. He grabbed the guts, you know, and he popped them in his mouth, swallowed it, and a piece of the yellow intestines was on his lip. And Mr. Wilhelm walked over and said, "Lenny, what do you do? What do you got on your lip?" "Nothing." Well, he was so stoned, he didn't even know we didn't pay him. So, it was a good day. But honestly, you can't blame God and you can't blame the devil for some of the things that happen to us. You know, sometimes we abuse ourselves, we have bad habits, and we've got to take care of ourselves. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 and 17, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and which temple you are." You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we've got to make sure that we are not hurting or wounding. We've got to be wise. You know, sometimes we just don't think about it. But we got to be smart. You know, be smart. Take care of yourself. The Lord showed me, he rebuked me really strongly a few years ago. I'm sometimes I forget what I've shared, so just pacify an older guy. And here I am, you know, I was 224 pounds. Now, for me, that is really, I had a hard time tying my shoes. No, really, I would tie my shoes and I would be winded. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "And you're praying for revival?" And I said, "Yeah, I want you to move, God." He goes, you couldn't handle it if I did. I said, "What do you mean by that?" He says, "If right now I poured my spirit out in your church, in this place," he said, "if I wanted the flow of God to happen 6 days a week, you couldn't handle it physically. Get in shape or I'll never move in your church the way you're asking." I just don't think he was being nice at all. That's when I started exercising, riding bicycle, and getting myself in shape to where, honestly, many of you don't know, but I'll ride my bicycle here on a Sunday morning. It's about 10 miles. Joel and I did it one day. And I don't go slow, do I, Joel? No, I cruise right along, rode 10 miles to church, preached two sermons, and then I'll ride my bicycle home. I do that not because, boy, I don't have a tummy. No, I do that because I want God to move in this house. I want God to move in this church, and I've got to be ready. If the head isn't ready, it's never going to flow down. So all of this comes down to making sure you take care of yourself. And when people are ill or sick, you've got to be wise and make sure that you're not causing it yourself. Now, there are other causes, and we talked about a little bit on Sunday, about demon possession and oppression. Not all sickness is caused by possession or oppression. We know that possession is when the demon lives inside, and you cannot be born again if you got a demon living inside of you. Amen? If you're born again, the Bible says that if you're born again, the Bible says a house divided against itself cannot stand. So God will not dwell in the same house as a demonic spirit. So you cannot be possessed. But there are many people that are not born again that are possessed of the devil, and the devil has caused serious illness in their life. Now, a Christian can be oppressed or afflicted. Job chapter 2, verse 7, "Satan went forth and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet to the crown of his head." So we know that the devil can cause sickness. We know that Jesus prayed for the blind spirit, that there are demons that cause blindness. There are demons that cause deafness. There are demons that cause, and some of these we covered on Sunday, osteoporosis and, And now listen now, this is one of those things I just want to chat about a little bit. Osteoporosis is at its highest level at its youngest age more than ever. And the reason is because we're drinking the dark colas, and the dark colas, except for root beer, all have that phosphoric acid in it. The phosphoric acid goes to your body, eats your calcium deposits, and then sends a message to your brain saying, listen, there's no more deposits of calcium. I need calcium. Therefore, it starts tapping your bones for calcium. So if you're drinking phosphoric acid, and if you're not sure if you are or not, look on the back of your bottle. If you're drinking that, don't blame the devil. If you're struggling with illness in your life, dealing with bone density or calcium deposits, so on and so forth, you need to take care of yourself. Well, anyways, there are certain sicknesses that are caused by the devils. Mark chapter 9, 14 through 29, the demon-possessed boy who was not in his right mind was thrown to the fire and water by the demon, was set free when Jesus spoke it over him, and he was in his right mind. So the devil can affect your mind. We also know Matthew chapter 9, 32 and 33, a mute man was brought to Jesus, and the devil was cast out, and he spoke. I remember I was getting ready to pray for a young boy in my last church who was born mute, and I was getting ready to pray for him and take authority over this mute spirit in his life. He was oppressed but not possessed, born in that dimension, and I told his mother to bring the child up to me, and the mother said, no. I said, I know God is going to set your boy free right today. He's gonna talk today. And the mother said, I believe it, so no. I said, what do you mean no? She said, we get a check for his disability every single month, and if God heals him, we're going to lose that money. She never would allow me to pray for that child. Isn't that crazy? And she was sick. Here we go. Mark chapter 9. Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him. Luke chapter 13, verse 11. A woman with the spirit of an infirmity, arthritis, osteoporosis, who was bent over and in no wise could raise herself up. Jesus rebuked the spirit of infirmity, and she was made whole from that very moment. So it is important to recognize that demons can cause illness. Now, I was praying for a man in northern Maine one time, and I had a word of knowledge about a certain back problem, and I gave the specificities and the specifics of exactly what I was feeling, and the man raised his hand, said, that's me, and I walked over to him, I prayed for him, and he goes, it's moved. And I said, what do you mean it's moved? He goes, well, it's over here now. So I said, well, let's pray. So I laid hands on him. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke sickness in Jesus' name. I command the sickness right now to stop. And I'm done praying for him. And he said, it moved. And I said, where'd it move to? He said, right here. I said, oh, I got this thing. I stepped back. You don't lay hands on a devil. You cast the devil out. Looked at him and said, in the name of Jesus, devil, you spirit of infirmity, I command you to come off his body now. And from that moment on, he never had another issue with his back, and that thing that was moving around was a spirit. It was a spirit causing sickness. Now, if you don't believe that's true, well, then you need to do a little research. I don't want you to do research into that stuff. Research into witchcraft and voodoo and all those different things. You ever seen one of those voodoo dolls? And one looks like, oh, they're so cute. They're very real. Santeria? Anybody ever heard of Santeria? It's witchcraft that's mainly in the Spanish community, the Latino community. And let's just say they take the voodoo doll, and what they do is they cast a spell. They release a demon to go, and where they poke that doll is where the demon is supposed to afflict their physical bodies. And it works. In Haiti, the country at one point in time, before the earthquake, the national god of Haiti was Satan. Yeah, most people don't even know that. It was very normal that if a witch doctor cursed you, that you would physically die if you were not a Christian. It still works that way in Africa, still works that way in the third world countries, where the demons don't hide themselves like they do in America. So sicknesses can be definitely caused by demon activity, and this is where you need what we call discerning of spirits. When you're praying for somebody, you need to ask the Lord what they need. So if someone's saying, well, I have chest pains. Well, if they ate 500 hamburgers, yes, they probably do have chest pains. And God can heal them. They still got to stop eating the 500 hamburgers. Can I hear an amen? It's important to know whether that's a demonic affliction, a spirit of infirmity, or it is a natural problem with their physical body. No matter what the issue is, the fact still comes down to the fact. The word of God is always true. And if you're born again, you are part of the new and a better covenant with better promises. And you cannot separate the blood, which represents, the blood represents, and the body represents. You cannot separate those two. So even though, come on now, let's be honest, how many of you live some really good sinful lives? I mean, if you were going to hell, you're going well. Amen? I mean, you were on your way, and you made sure there was a little chuckling on the way. You know, woohoo! You know, you're going to hell all the way, baby. You weren't going halfway. You're going all the way. But yet, when you confess the Lord Jesus, he did what? He changed you. He forgave you. He washed your sins away. You're a new man. You're a new woman. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Listen, it's the same way with healing. God's will is still to heal you, even if you caused it. He still wants to heal you. It is his heart that his body, whose body? Whose body do you have? Well, this is my body. Well, no, it's not. The Bible says you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So therefore, your physical body is not your body. Your spiritual body is not your body. Your soulish man is not yours. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. Do you think God just wants to make your spirit man healthy, but let your soulish man live in torment? What's your soul? Your intellect, your emotions, and your will. There are so many scarred Christians with broken hearts, with broken minds, people that are so wounded inside that you cannot see blood from the soul man, but they're bleeding profusely, yet they love God, yet inside they're so absolutely desperately wounded. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to heal, to sozo, to reupholster your soulish man. Jesus didn't just come to save you to go to heaven. He didn't just come to heal your soul. He needs a physical body to work through. And that means God wants your physical man healthy as well. He wants all three parts of you. You're called a trichotomous being. You are a spirit who has a soul that lives in a body. So God doesn't want part of you healthy. He wants the whole of you healthy. So some people are physically healthy, but they're soulishly wounded. You can't see the soul, but they're bleeding profusely. Others are born again. Their souls are pretty healthy, but their physical bodies are not. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of sickness that you might have struggled with. Here's one fact. Every sickness is a prison. I have never found a sick person that has said to me, wow, I'm so excited to be sick today. Unless it was a child fake vomiting in the bathroom so they didn't have to go to school. I've never found somebody said, yay, I've got cancer. Woo! I've never seen anybody say, man, my heart is just so broken. Man, I'm so happy about it. Come on now. God wants to make your spirit man healthy, to go from death to life. That means you're spiritually alive in Christ. That you can't, listen, your spirit man can't get any better than when Jesus lives inside of it. Can I hear an amen? But he also wants your soul, your intellect, your emotions healthy and whole. And he also wants your body whole. And no matter what the cause is, God desires to make you whole. So we've got to start getting a mind change. And that is, well, I guess I just got to accept it because this is my lot. I cause my problems the way it is. Listen, you need to look yourself in the mirror and say, you're a child of the living God. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus died on the cross to make you healthy, spirit, soul, and body. And I refuse to sit back and just accept my lot. Well, you made your bed, you got to lie in it. Well, baby, I'm making a new bed. I'm going to call those things which are not as though they already are. I don't have to live in misery. I can live in victory. For he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So this is a choice that you and I have to make. Now, the fact is that not everybody you pray for is healed. Well, I had aunt, what kind of aunt can we use? Well, I had an Aunt Louise who really loved the Lord, and, you know, she come down with the cancer. And we prayed for her and prayed for her, and nothing seems to happen, and she died. The Lord healed her in heaven. Listen, if I hear that again, I'm just going to vomit. Everyone used, the Lord healed her in heaven. The Lord healed him in heaven. Listen, God don't need you in heaven. You need to get a hold of this thing. God don't need you in heaven. God needs you here. If God needs you in heaven, while the Lord took another angel, he needed another angel. What are you, sick? You couldn't be an angel anyways. You're higher than the angels. God don't need somebody in heaven. He needs them born again, spirit-filled, fired up, going out soul-winning right here on this earth. He needs his saints to be here, not up there. Yet so many just sit back and accept it. Come on now. Shake yourself. You've got to believe this. What do believers do? They believe. What do we believe? The Word of God. What does the Word of God say? By his stripes, you were healed. Were, meaning past tense. He did it on Calvary's tree. It is accomplished. It is sealed. It is settled. When we accept our sickness, whose sickness? When we accept our sickness, whose sickness? Let me think about this now. Garden of Eden, the great sin was, they did what? God said, don't touch this one tree. You can have any other tree. You can have any other fruit, but don't touch this one tree. What did he do? What happened? Oh, yeah, I mean, eat. I mean, I'm talking, they chowed down. Watch. What were they told? Don't touch this one. Why? Because it was a magical tree. Because God was setting in order. There are some things that are mine you just don't touch. Some things are separated, set aside. Don't touch this thing. It didn't have special powers to open their eyes. What it had was God said, don't touch this thing. And if they chose to touch this thing, what they were saying was that, God, I'm taking possession of something that's yours that's not mine. Therefore, we know what happens. When you touch and grab ownership of something that's not yours that is God's, what happens when you touch ownership when it's something that's not yours and it's God's? What happens to you? You have lack. And they did. They died spiritually. They ended up dying physically. Your bodies were never made to die physically. Never were. Well, they're just made to break down. I guess I'm 943 years old. I've been made to break down. It's not true. Your bodies were not made to break down. What's happened is, because of sin, sin being a cause in the initial, because of the lack of access, they have lack. Spirit, soul, and body. You and I need to define in our spirits that God, when he died, when Jesus died on the tree, the first Adam brought death, but the second Adam brought life, that we need to press in and say, God, these are the promises, and your promises are yea and amen. So therefore, when or if sickness comes on my body, it's not my sickness. It's your sickness. You took it on the tree. The mentality you take determines the faith level you'll go. And out of the mouth, which are seed, words are seed. It's funny, you walk up to somebody and say, how you doing? Well, you know, I've got arthritis. Well, you know, I've got this problem. Well, you know, whose problem? Well, you claiming it, right? It's yours. If it's your problem, then whose problem is it? Why would God heal yours? You see, you think it's a catch-on word. It's not a catch-on words. It shows whether we believe he's actually able to do it or if we own it ourselves. I don't want to own sickness. How about you? I don't want to own disease. How about you? Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgives every single sin and heals every single disease. Whose disease? His disease. He took it on Calvary. So listen now, I'm not saying that sickness doesn't come into our lives at times. You know, you get an infection, you get a situation going on in an organ, you have something going on in your body. God's never called you to deny the facts. He's called you to decree the truth. Yes, okay, yeah, snot's running down. I got to grab it before it goes in my mouth. You know, and I just, you know, yeah, I don't want to get full that way. Are you sick? No. Nope. Come on now. God's never called you to be a liar, but he's called you to declare the truth. Are you sick? Well, you know, right now, I'm believing God and declaring that by his stripes I am healed. Don't lay hold of it. Don't accept it. Declare the truth. There was a man in our church. They used to sit over on that side. And his last name was Fleming. And he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. The doctors told him he was going to die. I believe it was within a month. And he was a farmer. The Flemings down in Chemung. And he was told he was going to die. And the doctor said, you got cancer. And he looked at the doctor and said, thanks, doc, for your help, but I'm healed in Jesus' name. Doctor looked at him like he had 16 heads. He said, I never once accepted that report in my life. And within a month, he wasn't dead. He was out of the hospital. And he's on his sixth or seventh year of being cancer-free. When the doctors told me he was supposed to be dead. It's your acceptance or your willingness not to receive the report that's not of God. You have a responsibility to either accept it or not accept it. And what that does is it positions you in faith. So when you sit back and you go, well, you know, I've got the diabetes. Well, great. Enjoy yourself. So be it as unto your faith. There was a man, who's not heard of the Azusa Street Revival, 1906? Has everybody ever heard of the, who has not heard of the Azusa 1906 revival? I would encourage you to go home tonight and look it up online. A-Z-U-S-A, Azusa Street Revival. What it was a powerful revival that literally touched the entire planet in 1906. I mean, so much that people would be walking two blocks from where the church was, which was a horse barn. They were sitting on egg crates, and the preacher stacked three egg crates and buried his head in the bottom of them as he prayed. People would be two blocks away from the church, fall out in the spirit. I'm talking not even born again. The fire department was called, I believe, two or three times because of the fire coming out of the top of the church. The church is on fire. Fire department got there. There's no physical fire, but the fire of the Holy Ghost was inside. Now, listen, there's newspaper articles like you wouldn't believe. I had a whole book just of newspaper articles about the supernatural, miraculous things that happened. Well, one day, a newspaper man came, and his goal was to show that this was a farce, a lie, nothing more than a manipulation, sleight of hand by these preachers trying to get everybody's money. So there's a prayer line. So he went up like this. Dragging like he had a stroke. The man of God looked at him. The Holy Ghost told him what was going on. And he looked at the man and he says, sir, so be it as unto your faith. It wasn't a joke anymore. He was paralyzed on that whole side. Came back days later. Got in line. He said, you're back. Yes, sir, this is real. So be it as unto your faith. Boom, healed right there. Your faith plays a massive part in whether you're going to receive your miracle or not. And the words out of your mouth, for out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, we actually have to arrest our mouth. So, when we talk about people not being immediately healed, I want to remind you there's a difference between a healing and a miracle. A miracle is an instantaneous work of God that takes no faith on the receiver. So let me say that one more time. Stop pinching my granddaughter. A miracle is an instantaneous work of God that takes no faith from the receiver. A healing takes faith exerted to receive the healing that could happen. It means time. Now, I've seen time where it's 5 minutes, and I've seen time where it's decades. But a healing is progressive. A miracle is instantaneous. We are Americans. We all want a miracle. We all want a miracle. I want it now. I want it my way. Well, listen, have you ever seen a child that was spoiled? Never seen a spoiled child? The child asks once, boom, you give it to them. They never grow up is a problem. They don't usually take on responsibility. They're going to live with you until they're 900, and they're going to take everything. Here we are. It's time to grow up, and that's what healing does. Healing demands that you exercise faith. People don't like to exercise faith. What is exercising faith? Calling those things which are not as though they already are. That is, not accepting what you do see, but living in what you cannot see. Declaring it as fact and as truth. Now, I've seen miracles. We had, again, some of these examples I've given to you before. Well, I had a girl in northern Maine. It was in the town of Rockland. She came to the services. She had crossed eyes, and she had diabetes. She was probably 16, 17 years old. We laid hands on her in the name of Jesus. There was no demon. It was just sickness. She was born with the crossed eyes. I looked at her and said, in the name of Jesus, I command right now, even the muscles that are not around the eyeball that are bringing the balance to the eye, or if there are, I command you to be strengthened right now in the name of Jesus. And then I spoke to her blood, and I said, in Jesus' name, I command for the organs that balance the blood sugar to come into order in Jesus' name. I command your body to be healed. Well, when she left with crossed eyes. And, of course, she didn't bring her test kit to prove whether she had diabetes or not. She got up the next morning. She went to the mirror and looked, and she freaked out. Because her eyes were no longer crossed. That was not a miracle. That was a healing. It was sometime in the night that God strengthened her muscles around her eyes or created them and balanced out her eyes so that it was a normal eye. She went to the doctor because she tested her blood sugar, and it was normal. She went back to her doctor, and he said, I don't understand what's going on here. And they proved it, ultimately, that she was healed of diabetes. Well, that was not a miracle. That was progressive. I was down in Pennsylvania, preaching down in Dallas, Pennsylvania. Anybody know where that is? Down near Wilkes-Barre. Preaching down in Dallas, Pennsylvania at a church. And there was an individual who had multiple sclerosis. It was a female, and it started affecting her ability to walk. In fact, I believe it was her right leg became strong disability. She wasn't able to move it freely. It was really just, you know, the disease was starting to take its toll. She came up front. She says, I need a miracle. I said, all right. I believe God can do a miracle. That means that there's going to be immediate evidence and you're going to start running across this place. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command right now the disease called multiple sclerosis. I curse you. I command you to come out of her body. You have no right, for Jesus paid for her healing, her miracle. Now get out in Jesus' name. And immediately her leg straightened out and she started running across the altar. She got an absolute miracle. In the same service, there was a man who worked on air conditioning. He was an HVAC guy. And he had bent over and he had blown discs in his back to where he could not. He said, I can't even do my job because if I bend over, I actually need someone to help me up. Laid hands on him in the name of Jesus. God, an instantaneous miracle. He was bending over, freaking out, touching his legs, touching his. Now, my uncle here is another miracle. I remember when I was a child, just a child, my uncle owned a service station, not a service station, a body shop. And he was working on a gas tanker? An oil truck. And it slipped out and landed on him. Correct me if I'm wrong. Couldn't bend over. Messed up real bad. Came to church, and as a kid, I remember the miracle. I remember him standing there. The miracle's been released. I watched him bending over. This is burned in my head. Bending over, touching it. He's freaking out. He was so excited. Bending over, touching his toes, standing back up. An instantaneous, miraculous move of God. So there's two ways that these things happen. One, a healing, and sometimes a miracle. Either way you get it, it produces the same results. Can I hear an amen? We are Americans. We would rather have the miracle than the healing. But majority of the time, God will work a healing with the believers because he's stretching your faith to believe for greater things. You're a hard crowd tonight. Let me talk to the live streamers. Say amen. Hole in that thing. All right. When do you stop believing for your healing or miracle? Well, you know, let me tell you what happens. People come up front. They got an illness in their body. You lay hands on them, and they're believing for a miracle. They don't get a miracle. They get a healing. Well, I didn't see anything happen, and I don't feel any different. I guess I didn't get it. You just doomed yourself, man. You literally just put in action the miracle that had begun. You stopped it. Because you were looking for a miracle. Well, God wasn't going to give you a miracle. He's going to give you a healing. The words of your mouth canceled the very healing that was activated in your life. In one of Kenneth Hagin's books, there was a woman who had a goiter on her neck. Big old goiter. And an evangelist went into the church and prayed for her and said, in the name of Jesus, I command that goiter to be gone in Jesus' name. Well, she received her healing. Well, Sunday night's testimony night in their church. So next Sunday night, she stands up and she says, I want to thank my God for healing me of this goiter. Well, it's still there. The next Sunday night, she gets up. I want to give my God glory for my miracle, my healing. My tumor is gone. Well, it's still there. 6 months later, every Sunday night, she's still getting up. Finally, the church board took the pastor in the room and said, you've got to tell her to stop because we can all see she didn't get nothing. So the pastor obeyed his board, went to the woman and said, well, you know, I know you're claiming it, but nothing's happened, so we'd appreciate until we actually see it done that you no longer give that testimony on Sunday nights. Well, Sunday night's testimony night, you know. So Sunday night rolls around. She stands up and she says, I cannot not thank my God for my healing. I thank Jesus that he set me free from this goiter. And you can imagine all the penetrating eyes. And as they stood there, it went, and dropped right there on the floor. When did she get her healing? The moment she received it. Not when it fell off her neck. The healing didn't happen when it fell off her neck. The healing happened when she received it all those months before. And if she had not have gotten up, and if she had obeyed the church board, she'd have kept it. You and I play a massive part in our receptivity of receiving our healing. Now, I also, next week, we're going to touch on these two things. Next week, I'm going to teach you how to receive your healing, your miracle, and then how to keep it. Because I've watched just as many people get them and lose them. So here we are. When do you give up believing for your miracle or your healing? Never. Well, you know, I guess they didn't get it. Well, you know what? You just need to shut your face. You know what? Some of you let way too many people talk into your life. Do you remember when Jesus went and he prayed for the little girl who was dead? The father said, if you come and lay hands on my daughter, I know she'll be well. Mark chapter 5. So Jesus started going with him. Remember the woman of the issue of blood kind of disrupted the whole thing, got her miracle. While the woman of the issue of blood was leaving, one of the servants from the house came and said, listen, man, don't bother the master because your baby girl's dead. And Jesus looked at him and said, hey, don't be afraid. Only believe. What's the opposite of fear? Faith. Don't be afraid. Don't accept doubt. You asked me to do something. I said I would. If I said I would, it doesn't matter what the circumstances say. It matters what the Word, who's Jesus? The Word that became flesh. And it matters what the Word says. So don't be afraid, only believe. He gets there. And what's happening? A funeral. Now, you got to understand Jewish funerals. In those days, they would pay mourners. They would pay for people to come and to whine and weep and wail, literally wail, over their lost loved ones. And they would sit there and they would just scream out in agony. It's not just the mother. You see, people that you don't even know, man, you paid them to come and do this. Jesus looked at the disciples and said, I need Peter, James, and John. You come with me. You notice he didn't take even all of his disciples? Walked into the room, kicked all the mourners out except for mom and dad. Then walked over and said, get up. She sat up, she says, I'm hungry. She was dead, now she's alive. How did that happen? Because Jesus didn't even take all of his disciples, because they all didn't have the level of faith that they needed to be able to be in that place to manifest, bring manifestation to the miraculous power of God. He would not allow just anybody around him when a miracle needed to occur. This is where so many believers, they lose it. They get a friend. Listen, even a Christian friend. Some of your Christian friends you need to expel from your life. Well, they're Christians. Get rid of them. They're toxic Christians. Don't be around toxic Christians. If you need a miracle, you don't go to somebody who goes like this. Well, I'll give you an example. We had a woman in our church, and she was always sick. I mean, like, seriously, always sick. And she was a pastor's wife, actually. And she came to the church, and we started teaching her about it's God's will to heal, about you can't separate the blood and the body. You know, teaching her. And she had, what do they call that? Chicken pox. What's that called? Shingles. She had shingles. Not just shingles. She had shingles down her throat. She had shingles everywhere. And we taught her the principles of miracle and healing and the principles of blood and body. And she got a hold of it, man. I'm talking, she got this thing. And she declared in the name of Jesus, I am healed. And God healed her. She lived one whole year with no sickness in her life. She said it was the healthiest year of her entire life. And then she went to one of her Christian friends. She says, look what God has done for me. Look what God has accomplished in me. This is what the person said. Listen, you're going over the edge. You need to be more practical. You know, sometimes the Lord brings things into your life to teach you things. Sometimes you just got to accept them and work through them. He'll get you through. You know, you just need to, you're a little bit extreme right now. And she let the word sit and settle. What are you doing to that child? I want you to know the children, they don't do that for me, just the mothers. And guess what happened? They ended up leaving the church. She got, like, seriously sick and got cancer, actually. And she went back to the teaching. And God healed her of cancer. She didn't take one chemotherapy. She had no cutting, no operation. God legitimately did a supernatural miracle in her life and set her free because she went back to the principles of the Word of God. Christians, we've got to get back to the Word of God. I would rather die a believer any day than die a doubter. Well, you know, I just kind of given up. Well, you give up because I ain't giving up, baby. You know, I'm going all the way. And if I take my last breath, let me tell you what happens if I take my last breath. I have enough faith that if I take my last breath and my time ain't done here, then guess what's going to happen? Someone's going to come and raise me from the dead because the miracle's not done until I'm dead and down below the grave with the dirt on top with the little stone. Because watch, Smith Wigglesworth raised three people from the dead who are embalmed. I'm talking embalmed. They had no more blood in their body. Embalmed. You know what Lenny ate? Embalming fluid. He raised them from the dead. Now listen, you can't get any deader than being embalmed. Raised from the dead. Validated. We're not talking like, well, you know, that's a nice religious fictional story. No. Raised from the dead, embalmed. How is that possible? Because the miracle is not done until you're buried. Listen, you don't want him to raise you from the dead when you're underneath the ground like that. You want to stay in heaven because you wake up in that casket, no way out. That's a bad thing. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So you never stop believing. Oh, come on now. Here's some reasons why some people are not healed, like never healed. Some expect healings as a test of God's power. Luke chapter 23, verse 8. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see a miracle done by Jesus. All this Herod dude wanted was a show. There are some people that come to church just for a show. Now, I can prove this. They did it to Jesus too. John 6, 6, 6. Really, that's the verse. John 6, 6, 6. Jesus had a great following. And he then said something that was very interesting. He said a hard saying, the scripture says in John chapter 6. He said, if you want to follow me, you got to eat of my flesh and drink my blood. And they said, he's a cannibal. And so they left. Everyone left him but the 12 disciples. And then he looked at the 12 disciples and he said, are you going to go too? And Peter spoke up and he said, where are we going to go, man? You're the one with the words of eternal life. Some people just want to show. I want to see a miracle. Listen, if you've been in this church for any period of time, you have been seeing lots of miracles. There are a lot of miracles in this church. How many of you have ever received a physical miracle in this church? Hands up all over the place. How many of you have had God do a miracle as an event in your life? Joe, raise your hand. Miracle. You were healed. You had strokes. We can go through the list of all the people that have been healed in this church. We're not talking like, well, I hope it worked. Like, they got it, baby. So if somebody says, well, I've never seen a miracle in this church, well, that's because you're sitting in the back, you're playing on your phone. Come to the front where the anointing is stronger and get your own. Hello. Amen. Hear the child laughing in the front. God does not have miracles for the curious or the mockers. We actually, when Brother Ted was here one time, we had one of the local, oh yes, I'll do it. We had one of the local Baptist churches send a whole slew of their teachers, school, they have a Christian school, send a whole slew of their teachers. They sat in the back and they mocked Brother Ted as he's moving in the word of knowledge and miracles. I was just thinking to myself, man, I would never be that brave ever. I should say not brave, stupid. Because you don't make fun of the move of God. That's just dumb. But some people, that's all they do. Luke chapter 11, verse 29, while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, this is an evil generation who seeks a sign. And no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. Some people are not healed because they're looking to the healing rather than to the healer. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. John chapter 4, verse 48, and Jesus said to them, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Some people are not healed because they rely on the flesh, a doctor over Christ. Now listen, I 100% believe in doctors. But I want to remind you, your doctor's not a healer. No, really. Your doctor's practicing. Over 90,000 people are killed a year by their doctors. No, really, you need to hear this. We have so much faith in our doctors. But over 90,000, watch, double the amount of people that were killed in the Vietnam War are killed every single year by a doctor. They're practicing, guys. They're not God. They're doing their best. Thank God for doctors. Amen? We have doctors in our church. I thank God for doctors. I go to doctors. But they're not my healer. And there are people that rely so much upon the medication and upon the doctor that they never put their faith in Christ Jesus. That's why some people are not healed. Some people are not healed because of unforgiveness. We talked about that one. Some people are not healed because they touch God's anointed. Now let's talk about that. First Chronicles 16, verse 22. Say, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. In Numbers chapter 12, Miriam, Moses' sister, started mocking him for marrying an Ethiopian. Now, as you might know, an Ethiopian is not white. Moses was not white. He was a Jewish descendant, so he was dark olive colored, but he married a very dark complexion, a very dark woman. And so Miriam started mocking him. And what happened to her? She got leprosy. This doesn't happen as much in our type of church as it does in the denominational churches, where people die because they touch God's anointed. Listen, you don't make fun of God's anointed. That's dumb. You don't mock, you honor the gifts of God. There was a man who was a local pastor here in our area, and he hated me very badly. Had never met me, but he hated me. And a friend of mine or an individual that I know who was an evangelist called him because they were friends from the past. And when they called, the pastor started bashing me to the evangelist. How evil I was, how I steal money, and how I, you know, I'm carousing all over the place, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And the Lord spoke through the evangelist and said this, sir, that has just cost you your ministry. Within 2 months, he was out of that church, went to another church down south, and was out of that church, and has not been in the ministry since. The anointed lifted. Because you touch God's anointed, there's a price to pay. I had another individual who was aggressively against me as an individual and spread horrific rumors about myself and my wife. And, you know, I'm not running around cursing folk. You don't have to. God takes care of his own. And all of a sudden, literally, every woman in that entire family came down with breast cancer within 1 year. And two of them died. Am I saying that's because they touched me? I don't know. It's kind of really peculiar how all of them got it at the same exact time, all different ages. It was all within the year after they were really all just taking a poke at the preachers. Don't touch God's anointed. You don't make fun of the preachers. They're God's people. The fivefold ministry are God's folk. You might not like them. God didn't tell you you have to like them. But you don't touch them. You don't come against them. That's unwise. Now, some preachers use that as a fear tactic. You ever speak bad about me, God will curse you. Ah, come on now. This is not about fear. It's about being smart. You know, I don't talk bad about preachers. I might talk bad about what they do, but I'm not going to rip up the preacher. Shouldn't eat the preacher for lunch. You should go to lunch. Some people are because they have sin in their life. John chapter 5, verse 14. Afterward, Jesus found them in the temple and said to them, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Some people are not healed because of unbelief. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6. Now he could do no mighty work there except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Some people are just tired and want to go home. And this is one of the things that I see a lot of, especially with folks that are really, really, really born again and love the Lord, have a phenomenal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people just get tired of fighting. It's not that they don't have faith anymore, but they're ready to go home. I'm going to talk about Prophet Ogunwumi. Some of you don't know him. Some of you do. He is a great prophet of God. That's Pastor Andrea's husband. He is an African. He was an African. And in Africa, contracted hepatitis C. I want to make sure I'm saying the right one. And it was, I guess it's normal over in that portion of Africa, Nigeria, that area, that is hepatitis C is normal. And what it does is it attacks your liver. Well, he didn't know it. He was 40, I don't know, 44, 45 years old. He's my age. We were born the same year. And had a shoulder pain, went up to the doctor in Rochester, and they said, you have liver cancer, and it's way beyond what we can do. You're going to die. And, of course, the prophet said, I will not die. I was with him, man. You could feel the anointing rush in the room. Miracle after miracle, we saw God sustain his life. And then we watched the doctors dope him up really, really well. In fact, the final death notice was that he didn't die of cancer. He died of all the drugs and the brain hemorrhages that happened because of all the drugs that were released into his body. But ultimately, I remember the last day and the last hour. Standing by his bed, big man. And he looked at the nurse and he says, you must go to heaven. You need Christ. And he starts witnessing to this woman, starts telling her she needs to get saved. And then he prayed with her. He led her to the Lord right there. And then he looked and he said, I'm tired, my friend. I'm tired. And Pastor Andrea said, the moment she knew, the Lord spoke to her, the moment that he saw heaven, he did not want to come back and did not want to fight any longer. And within less than an hour, he went home to be with the Lord. Deep friend of mine, good friend of mine. Was he a man that believed to the end? Yeah, but you know what? He got tired, and he didn't want to fight anymore, and he just went north. Yes. Same thing to your mom? Oh, wait for the microphone.
Same thing happened to my mother. I used to go up every week into Vermont, and I would pray for her, and she was in bed for a long time. And I went up one Sunday to visit her, and all the kids were there, and I got ready to leave, and she said, son, don't pray that the Lord will heal me. I'm tired. I want to go home.
That's right.
And the next day, she died.
She died.
Of course, my sisters and them didn't speak to me for about 2 years.
I do know another family where the Christian made the family promise. And okay, I was trying to find exactly who it was. Now I remember. I won't tell you who, but the father made the entire family who were intercessors promise not to pray for his healing. He said, I want to go home. Don't pray that I get healed. I want to go home. So some people just get tired. Is that bad? No, man. They just want to go north. You know, the moment with Jesus is great. And, you know, the truth is that heaven's timetable is different from our timetable. What do I mean by that? When we have somebody die in our life, we miss them for, you know, sometimes decades. But watch, to them, they're going to see you tomorrow. For a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So why would they want to come down here and hang out with you, live on this earth that sometimes is a struggle, when they're going to see you tomorrow? Now watch, if you're a Christian, death has no sting, death has no victory. I watch Christians in today's society, when someone dies, it's taken a whole different tone. It is like their whole life has ceased and stopped. Listen, if you really believe in eternity like you say you do, it's just I'll see you in a little bit. Will you miss them? Absolutely. But is it loss? No. To them, it's gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul made the declaration, if I die, I gain. So death has no sting if you're a believer. You need to recognize that. But here we are as believing for healing. Don't you ever give up. Because it could be just as you're going, oh, boom, you got your miracle. Die a believer any day, baby. Don't die a doubter. Amen? You can't separate the blood and the blood and the. So if it's always God's will to save, it's always God's will to heal. If you don't believe it, don't worry. You won't receive it. Next week, we'll get into how to receive your miracle and then how to keep your miracle. All right? Does anybody have any questions? I tried to end on time as much as I could. We have a question right behind you. The lady with the purple hair.
It's not really a question so much as like just something that relates to healing. And I guess, I don't know, it's a story that one of our professors in RBI, I'll put a plug in, Regent Bible Institute. It's a great, great Bible college, so ask questions about that too. Hopefully, if I butcher the story, my classmates can help me that are here because it was one that our professor told us. But he actually said that it is God's will to always heal, just as it is God's will that everybody will be saved. But sometimes there are reasons other than themselves that are holding them back. He was saying that he himself is a pastor and he's a generational pastor. So somebody, his father before him, I believe, was asked to heal this girl. And she was a lover of God. She believed in Jesus, and she was very, very in good standing with her faith, and so was her family. So her mother, you know, she was hospitalized on her deathbed. Her mother was like, please pray for my daughter. Please pray for my daughter. And he heard God, and God was like, do not pray for this girl. Do not pray for this girl. And he didn't know why, but he was obedient. And he said, ma'am, I'm telling you that God is... this is not something that I'm supposed to do. I can't explain why, but she's like, please heal her, please heal her, please pray for her. So he's like, okay, I will, but I want to let you know that I'm discerning that this is not something that I should be doing. So she was healed. He prayed for her. And then like 6 months down the road, she backslid. She walked away from God, got in a car accident and died. And she died unsaved. She died when she was in a backslidden condition. And and it's, I guess that's just like something that relates to healing. Like if people
absolutely
are discouraged,
absolutely. In fact, when my children were young, I prayed that God would take every one of them home, would kill them, would allow them to die if they weren't going to go to heaven. That they would die in innocence before they would go to heaven. Because I would rather have them in heaven for eternity than have them on this earth and lose them to the lake of fire. I always prayed that over my children. They're still alive. It's a good sign. Anybody else have a question? Thought, question, statement, declaration. I see that hand in the second row, the big guy.
Okay. Earlier you said that if you get a healing and you say, I don't believe it, after a while nothing happens and you say, well, that was a mistake. You can turn around and get another healing for the same issue.
Absolutely.
Correct?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
I've done that, and I know I need different. I need to be different about it.
Amen. And that's where teaching comes in.
Okay.
And this is a big part. Churches don't teach this stuff, by the way. They don't teach this stuff. What you're hearing, I never heard for many, 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 many years. I never heard it in my home church. This is principles that are faith and produce the product of heaven. The problem is that most Christians are not taught. That's why, honestly, this building should have 300, 400 people in it right now, because there are at least 200 to 300 folks that are sick in our church. Well, I can't preach healing every Sunday. I'd like to. I had a man say to me just recently that he was sick and tired of the kingdom teaching. And so he stopped coming to church because he was sick of the teaching. I was boring. I've been repeating myself too much.